And I think because the court was aware that it was perhaps charting a new course, that it spent some time going over its takings law and to kind of give us some guideposts. It kind of built this argument up from the bottom up. And one of the things you can gain from this course is that property rights really matter. Private property rights matter, at least to this court. And they go back all the way to the, this is a quote, the founders. They go back and quote, when you're quoting John Adams and invoking the Sons of Liberty, you know that you're doing a lot of flag waving. So this is a lot of patriotic flag waving, that our Constitution protects these property rights, and this private property rights are, you know, core to what we do here. Is necessary to the preservation of freedom and empowers persons to shape and plan their own destiny. So they basically have kind of started the analysis by going back to history, saying the fabric of our union, the fabric of our Constitution, the fabric of our nation is built around private property rights. And these things are important. And because they're important, you can kind of, even before they answered the question, you kind of knew where they're going, the way they framed the issue. And the court said that, look, when the government physically takes your property, you have to pay. There's no questions asked. It's just, if it rises the level of a physical taking, then you pay compensation, which is why it's so important to determine and get clarity when is something a physical taking, because if it's a physical taking, government pays. If it's less than a physical taking, maybe government pays, depending on the circumstances. And the court added, once again, that their physical takings jurisprudence is as old as the Republic. You know, going back to talk about how the takings clause was invented or was created in great respects during a time, or not too far, when British colonial redcoats were occupying properties, you know, during the founding of the country. So they really have kind of made it very clear that, that this is a fundamental core property right and the bundle of sticks that comprise property rights. And the court also gave some examples of physical takings. Statutory condemnations, we're all familiar with that. I mean, the government here in Texas is under the Texas Property Code, Chapter 21. You file a condemnation petition and you go out and you acquire land for your road, your water lines, your sewer lines, whatever your public purpose would be. There's times when the government physically possesses property without having condemned it, and I've seen this happen a few times. You have an easement, but for whatever reason, the contractors didn't lay the water line completely in the easement. Or you had a sidewalk and trail easement, but for some reason, the sidewalk and the trail got put outside the easement. Well, in those cases, you've physically occupied somebody's property without their consent, so it's a taking. You have to wind up paying for it. And there's other cases that are a little grayer, and it's where you physically take property by other means, such as flooding, aircraft overflights. And this is kind of where the dissent in the Ninth Circuit was looking at it, saying, look, our cases are like aircraft overflights. If a plane flies over your property a few times pursuant to some government regulation, it may not be a taking. I mean, the Cosby case talks about flights of such duration and intensity and low enough that, in essence, the government had acquired an aviation easement without paying for it. Same thing with the flooding cases. I mean, if your property floods through governmental release of water, if it just happens occasionally, it's typically not a taking. But if it happens so often that, in essence, they're saying the government has acquired or should have acquired a flowage easement or a drainage easement from you, then it is a taking. Which is why, in this case, you know, the dissent and the Ninth Circuit said just going onto somebody's property occasionally, but not all the time, shouldn't be a per se taking. And the court indicated that per se takings were clear cut. And they're clear cut if it, once you determine it's a per se taking, because you pay for it, there's no defense. But then the court contrasted that from the other types of takings that we're more used to, that, you know, what we call the regulatory takings. And that's, according to the court, is a much more newer doctrine. I think it started in 1922 with the Pennsylvania Coal Mahon case, where the justices said that if a regulation goes too far, then it can become a taking. And that's where the concept of regulatory takings have come about. And that's when the regulatory takings typically are the things we've talked about, the balancing the test, the economic impact of a regulation, interference with reasonable investment backed expectations, character of the governmental action. Sometimes they're called the Penn Central factors from the Penn Central U.S. Supreme Court case. And here in Texas, we sometimes refer to them as the Glenn Heights Sheffield factors. That was the Texas Supreme Court case back in 2008, I think, that Art Anderson and I worked on that established those, that Penn Central model for Texas. It was a downzoning case.